Good morning. If you're going, who is that guy up there? I want to let you know that I've been on staff here for 22 years, believe it or not. I don't get up here very much. I'm with Greg a lot of times, serving in New Life Detroit, and so a lot of times speaking down there. But it is good to be here with you all this morning to talk a little bit about heroic living. You ever play those video games where you're like in some room or doing something and you're supposed to do something to get out and you can't figure it out? And you know those things? You wander around. And so what do you do? What do you do? You go on the internet and you look up the answer. You cheat. That's what you do, right? You do those things if you're not sure or there's these things that you read, you know. My son goes in and he gets some superpower that he didn't earn, right? You cheat. That's what you do. It's like these hacks or whatever in these games. And wouldn't it be awesome if life was like that? Wouldn't it be awesome if there were like Easter eggs and like hacks for real life? If I walked over here and I did this, I got my dream job without even having to interview. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or if I pile drive this thing, all of a sudden I'm never insecure again. Wouldn't that be amazing? I think that would be amazing. So if you find them, let me know. They don't exist in life. There are no shortcuts. There's no Easter eggs in life. If you want to live a life of meaning or significance, if you want to live a heroic life, and if you are a follower of Christ, that means you want to make a difference for Jesus. No shortcuts. It is simply, we need to build habits, right? Habits. A habit is simply making a commitment to do the same thing over and over again, knowing that it'll bear fruit. Or as Eugene Peterson says, a long obedience in the same direction. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about different habits to develop so that we can have an impact in this life. Sound good? Should be fun. Now, I have a habit. My family can tell you about this. I disappear. I don't disappear to me, but I disappear to them. What happens is I go out in my yard, and I like to look at it, and I wander, and I see things that need to be done. So I do them. And very often heard around my house is Carol or my kids going, "Where's Dad?" I disappear. That's what I do. In fact, there was one Christmas we opened the presents, we had breakfast, we cleaned up, whatever, you know, and it was warm out. And I went outside and my kids go, "Where's Dad?" And they looked outside, I was mowing the lawn. Because it needed to be done. So when we as pastors sat around and said to ourselves, who can talk about vision, which really is fighting for focus, they said, let's have Rick do it. So I said, I'm up for it. I'm in. Let's go for it. I can do this. Focus, because I have to fight for focus, all right? So that's what we're talking about this morning. Really, vision is the day-to-day fight for focus. Right? To give ourselves to the right things. What are you about? What you're about is what you give yourself to day after day. And the nice thing is that for people like me is that I don't have to figure this out, but Jesus actually tells us. He gives us clues. That's why I love him, because he's smart and wise and powerful. And so this is the passage we're going to look at this morning. Matthew 6. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What do you think is the most important? There's a lot in these. There's a lot of words here. What do you think is the most important word there? Man, you guys are good. I don't know the answer, but this is my opinion. His. I think it's his. See, if you want to live a life, a heroic life, you will develop a habit of seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, not yours, every day. Every day, I get up, I'm going to seek his, not mine. His, not mine. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It is simply the daily habit of choosing his kingdom, his righteousness over mine. So let's ask the Lord to teach us this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for a chance to be together. Lord, just as we go to the table to get food to nourish our body, we come to you this morning to get your word to nourish our soul. We need it, God. We need your direction. We meander. And so, Lord, we just pray, would you nourish our soul? In Jesus' name, amen. So how in the world can we have confidence to pursue his over mine? How can we have confidence? So early in marriage, my wife and I were sitting by a pool. We don't have any kids, and we were sitting by a pool in Myrtle Beach, and there was a woman, a young mom with her little daughter, and she had her in the swimming pool. And she was swimming and struggling, and she was doing this, okay? She was swimming, and she was yelling, "I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it." And her mom was holding her there, and this is what she said. She was from the South. She said, "I got you, you dork." And so she would put her out there, and she was, "I can't do it, I can't do it." She could, come on, dork, you can do it. And I turned to my wife and said, "That is a very interesting parenting technique." Do you ever wonder, do you ever feel like God just kind of picks you up and go, "I got you, you dork"? You know, I don't think he would call you a dork. I might, but I don't think God would. How in the world can we have confidence to choose his kingdom, his righteousness over ours? Jesus begins in Matthew 6. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life." That's intense. "What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more important, more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them." Does this passage blow your mind? It should blow your mind. It's amazing. He's saying, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. You know, the people that Jesus was talking to, the vast majority of them were working to get food for that day. Right? They needed food for that day. They needed clothes to cover them. And Jesus was saying, don't worry about this. Don't focus your attention on this. This should blow your mind. Why could he tell them with confidence? What was he exhorting them to? What this passage says is your heavenly Father knows what you need, right? He knows what you need. He sees you. You ever been on scene? Ever felt like no one sees me? No one cares? What Jesus is saying here, no, God sees you. He sees your need. He knows what it is, even your need for food and clothing. I'm not sure what stirs in your heart when you think about, man, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to choose his kingdom over mine. I'm going to choose his righteousness. I'm going to choose to follow him. I'm not going to worry about that. I don't know what stirs in your heart. If it's like, man, I'm excited, or you're like, ooh, what if I end up here? I'm a little afraid of that. I don't know what stirs in your heart. But what Jesus was talking to were people who had daily needs. And he's saying, don't focus mainly on this. Your Father, Heavenly Father knows what you need. Romans 8 says this. "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" The gospel tells us that we were in our deepest need, that we were separated from him, and we were headed for an eternity without him. And yet God stepped in, not because we deserved it, and he died. Jesus died in our place. He gave us salvation because he loved us. And this passage is saying, if he gave us his son, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Do you see the confidence to come to that we can have to give, to seek his, not ours, is because we know we have a father who sees us and is gracious and who gives and is generous. Do you get up in the morning? There's a discipline there to say, God, you are gracious to me. You see me. You know what I need. That can give us the confidence to seek his over ours. Mark 4 says this. This is Jesus in the middle of a parable. He's talking about sowing seeds. And he says, still others, like seeds sown among thorns. So it's the seed that is the word, it's sown among thorns. And it says this, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Why focus on his over ours? Because we get distracted. Because there's things out there that are vying for your attention that want to steal from you. They want to rob you of the life God has for you. And so if we don't know that God sees us and he knows what we need, we can get distracted and begin to focus on other things. And it'll rob us. You know what FOMO is? I know people are laughing. Why are you laughing? No, I've experienced it, but I didn't know it was a thing, right? Fear of missing out, right? It's a thing, right? And actually, there's a woman, Melody Wilding, who wrote in Forbes magazine an article about, like, FOMO. I know. I can't believe I'm saying that up here. She called it a powerful phenomenon. In fact, she said it was the 21st century equivalent of to keeping up with the Joneses. Fear of missing out. She says, thanks to social media and digital technology, we are faced with constant comparisons of our vacations, our clothes, our relationships, our social lives, even our life choices with those of others. Naturally, that ever-present stream of perfection leaves us feeling subpar. You experience that? There's a part of us that wonders, man, am I going to miss out? You know, we have a nice, quiet evening, and we're sitting there, all of a sudden we look at social media, well, they're having fun, and instead, relaxing, enjoying, we're like, man, I'm missing out. Some of the things that keep us distracted from the Lord is this fear of we might miss out on what God has for us. But what we can know is God sees our need. It frees us. He knows what we need, and he's generous and will give to us. If we know this every day, we get up and say, Lord, you are generous to me. Lord, you will give to me, and that can free me to pursue him over me. And we can say no to FOMO. Yes, I just said that up here. And I am old. So, you know, we did this announcement a couple weeks ago. We're going to plant a church at Western Michigan. Yeah, pretty awesome. And we talked about how are we all going to go. We're going to go here. We're going to go there, you know, all that. And how are we going to be a part of it? And I remember the first time we planted a church at Ohio State. And one of the folks who went, John Shaw, was a very good friend of mine. I remember he lived across the hall from me in Bursley. We both came to the Lord around the same time. My wife and his wife are close friends, and they were leaving. And I was like, man, I want to go. And I'm going to spare a long conversation. It was very clear the Lord wanted me here. And I remember the Monday after they left. And I remember sitting in my office and going, man, this place is different. Because John and Heather are gone. There are a couple other people gone. And one of the guys that I worked with from a believer and come on staff. He's gone too. I thought, and I was a little afraid, to be honest with you. It's like, man, do I still have a spot here? Is my wife and I going to be lonely? I mean, we had friends, but just wondered, and it didn't feel the same. And it's hard, but it was, I could trust the Lord. And so I felt him reach down, pick me up, said, I got you, you dork. He didn't really say that, but he has met those needs. God sees what we need, even if it's more than food. He meets needs of friendship. Sometimes we spend times aloneness, but God sees it, and that brings us the confidence to pursue his over ours. Sound good? Matthew 6, here's our verse. Here we go. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus gives us a priority. We're to seek first. That doesn't mean we don't think about other things, but the first thing we think of, the discipline of focus, is to say, today, Lord, I'm going after your kingdom. What's your kingdom? It's his rule and his will are manifest. Wherever his kingdom comes alive, wherever his rule and his will are manifest, it is, you know, where we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is his kingdom. It's our desire for his rule. So when we say, I want his rule, his kingdom, it's where can I see that? Where can I pursue that being broken out where I am? Where can I see his reign and his rule break out where I am? Where love and grace and justice can break out where I am? How can I pursue that wherever I am? His righteousness is yielding to his likeness and his will. To pursue his righteousness, not my righteousness, my goodness. A lot of times we as Christians, we pursue our own righteousness by trying to live up to some. His righteousness comes through grace. His righteousness comes by walking in the gospel and then asking him to fill us so that we might be like him. That's seeking his righteousness. So sometimes you hear this and you say, seek his kingdom, and certain things can come to mind. I had a couple friends that I did ministry with really early on, and some of you know them. One of them is, his name was Avery, and he was from Hillsdale, and he was a hunter. And so after small group, he pulled out his, I don't know what it was, about 7-foot blowgun that he made, and we would shoot cans. And he may or may not have, in the middle of the city of Ann Arbor, taken something out through a window. I'm not saying anything else. But he was a different kind of guy. And it was awesome. And there's another guy named Steve Gray and his wife, Emily. They're still in the church here today. And so we had a great time doing ministry together. But you know what happens in campus ministry? People graduate. And it stinks. Because you minister with them, and then they go. And so I didn't want him to go. So we tried to convince Steve to go on staff. So why don't you go on staff? I mean, you're so good. And you know what? He didn't. And you know what? He would not have been seeking God's kingdom if he would have went on staff. Because that's not what God had for him. And so today, he and his wife, you see, that, you know, he has a dental practice. He's serving the Lord. They are seeking God first. And they are seeking his rights and having a tremendous impact. Avery works for the Border Patrol. Awesome. You see their family, they love Jesus. They're seeking him first. And so to see that effect. So if you hear seek God's kingdom first, that does not mean go into ministry. It means I am pursuing his rule and his reign where he has called me. That's what it means. Do you get up in the morning? I have another friend who went to law school here, and I just got a email or something from him. He just got into this club. It's the top 1% of trial lawyers in the country. Loves Jesus. Know his family. Loving his family. He talks to his I don't know what you call it, partners about the Lord. Is he seeking God's kingdom above his own? I believe so. And he's a lawyer. And you can do that as a lawyer, okay? So I'm going to get totally in trouble for that. Sorry. That was not in my notes. Forgive me. His kingdom, his righteousness. I have some friends who were trying to seek, some of you know the Santinis, and they tell the story over and over again. They were trying to seek, what does the Lord have for kids? And they said they were praying and just saying, what do we want to do? What do we want? And Sarah tells the story. Dustin kind of said, maybe we should stop praying for what do we want and start praying for what does the Lord want? So they started praying, and they said within minutes they figured it out. His kingdom, not theirs. Lord wants to give, right? So the discipline of getting up, saying, Lord, I am today going to seek to glorify your kingdom, to seek your kingdom over mine. And I'm going to today get up and seek your righteousness. So what do I think about when I think of that? Let's look at Colossians 3. This is Paul's exhortation to a church, and this is what it says. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. These are not our values by nature, right? Compassion, kindness, forgiving as the Lord forgave us. These are God's values. And what God has called us to do is to pursue his righteousness, which means, Lord, help me to live out these values. We are most like Christ, I believe, when we love someone by forgiving someone. Listen, if we as the church cannot forgive, we really have no business doing anything, right? This is what Jesus did. You can go online and you can hear much better sermons than this one. Way, way better, okay? You can probably, maybe hear some better music. Maybe, okay? But we come together as a family so that we can be kind, have compassion, we can forgive one another, we can bear with one another, and that displays to the world who Jesus is, right? So that is pursuing his righteousness, not mine. And quite frankly, I just don't want to do it, but I need the Lord to help me. That is how we, getting up in the morning, Lord, today I will seek your righteousness. I do not want to forgive. I do not want to bear. I do not want to have compassion. Today I will do it. Lord, fill me with you. It is a simple habit. You're probably like my family wondering, I thought this talk was on vision. Where the heck is Rick? Right? I told you, I meander. That's why I started with the thing. I do this, all right? What does this have to do with vision? It is a discipline of focus. So here's it is. That's how I see it. Sometimes we need to go little to big and then big to little, okay? We go little to big and then big to little. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I will offer myself to you. I will seek your kingdom first. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, I will seek your righteousness above my own. I will be conformed to you. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We get up, and the habit is I pursue God's kingdom where I am. I pursue his righteousness where I am, and then I am able to see God's will. And we begin to see, what does God have for me? What has he called me to? We go little to big. And then as we see that, we go big to little. My wife and I, when we got married, we got married because we liked each other. It's a good reason. And we loved Jesus. And so that seemed like a good thing to do. And so we got married. And one of the things is we were both passionate about the Lord. And as we sought him, we wanted God's kingdom We wanted to follow God's kingdom. We wanted to be, pursue what was it like to be like him, righteousness. And as we looked at it, we both come from broken homes. We had a lot of benefit in the homes that we came from. One of the things, we didn't have real strong Christian values. And we also, both our homes were broken homes, divorce. And one of the things we just so, we felt God call us to as we pursued him, is we want to be a transition generation. We wanted to have a home that loved Jesus and who was committed to each other in love. And in some ways, we succeeded wildly, and in some ways, we failed. Okay? But this is what we pursued. And so as we walked down this path, we decided to homeschool. That's not more godly than anything else. It's what God called us to in the pursuing of being a transition generation. As the kids got older, they get more expensive. Do you know this? Ask your parents. You're expensive, all right? Worth every penny, all right, and more. But as kids, they get expensive. And so we had this conversation where Carol said, I think we need a little more if we want our kids to have the opportunity. So we're like, okay. So she said, I think I'd be willing to work a little bit to provide a little more money so the kids could do it. So the agreement was all her work goes to the kids and all mine goes to food. That was our understanding. And so we did this, and she began teaching voice lessons. She went to school here, music major. And so she started teaching voice lessons, and the Lord opened an opportunity in a local school where she could go into class and teach during class. And so she had a bunch of students during class. It was awesome because kids were in school. This is after we put them in school. We didn't leave it home alone, just so you know. Put them in school, and then when the kids came home, she was home. It was awesome. It was great. And then about a week before school started the next year, we were on our plan, ready to go. We got a call, and the teacher decided she needed more time, and they said, we're not going to have people teach during class anymore. And, you know, that's perfectly fine. That's a prerogative. But we're sitting there a week before going, what in the world are we going to do? Because we kind of set our budget a certain way, and we're like, oh, man. And so we were like, well, we could do the voice lessons at night. So if we did voice lessons, she said, you can come in, you can do this at night and all this stuff. And we're like, okay, then that way we can do it. My wife said, I thought we did this so that we could be with the kids. And it was a wrestling thing for us. Because the reason she was working was not for money. Well, I mean that, but it was to provide for the kids. And yet to work during that time for us, we just felt like, man, we want to be home. And so we had to wrestle. To be it for us, transition generation meant being with the kids. And I was like, well, we just got to do it. And Carol's like, that's not why. So this is why my wife is more godly than me. So we decided not to do it. And shortly thereafter, an opportunity came up in the school of Ann Arbor to do a music teaching. Be a part-time music teacher. She was up late at night and just happened to see it and applied for it, and we have a few connections too. And after 22 years of being gone from teaching, she got the job, which meant we could give a little to our kids and she could be home with when they were home. Isn't that amazing? Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I did not have faith, but my wife did. So the habit of focus, vision, going big, little to big, big to little. Sometimes we have to say no to things, right? And it's simply a discipline of getting up. Lord, will I seek your kingdom this morning, this day? Will I seek your righteousness this day? And I will trust you. I can lean on you. You'll see me. You'll see my needs. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things can be added to you as well. He's got you, you dork. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for, your truth, Lord. I thank you, God, that you love us. And you have given us a vision to follow you and know that that will be impactful. God, I just ask you, help us to see you. Lord, we know we can't do it in and of ourselves. We need your spirit to fill us, to love the things you love, to love your kingdom, and to love the way you are. God, we just thank you for rescuing us. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.